G'day, Annie.
Hi, Mick. How are you going?
Oh, so good. It's really good to chat to you today.
Thanks for having me.
We were just chatting beforehand about how we're missing kicking and training for the footy. One of many things we all miss, of course. But But you do kick a mean footy, and I'm not just making that up. You've got a good kick on you. We've seen the Community Cup every year.
I mean, I can kick it. I just can't control which direction it goes in. That's my problem.
Oh, we've all been there. We've all been there. It's really exciting to chat to you, even if it is over the phone. Congratulations on your debut release. It's very exciting. Always an exciting thing, particularly with how much goes into, you know, releasing music nowadays. How does it feel to have it finally out in the world?
It feels really good. It's definitely been a long time coming. Now I just have this sense of, you know, a bit of relief and excitement, and I'm just happy to have it out there and excited to keep working on new things. And yeah, it's just like, you know, it's like years working on it, and then the release feels like it takes ages. So it's just everything to have out.
Yeah, it seems to be the case with people who release, obviously, their first body of work. It's like, you know, so many bits and pieces go into the songs that make up the first one. And then I feel like after the first one's out, then you can just start churning through them. Or I don't know, it seems to be that way sometimes.
I think for me, the first body of work has been a process of really figuring out what my sound is and what I'm trying to do and what I'm trying to say. So it's kind of been this a few years of recording things and then, you know, reworking them or scrapping them or starting again or ditching them and recording new things and just kind of filtering through everything to be like, all right, this is what I'm doing, and then hopefully from now on it won't be another 3 years in the making. Well, I'd like to think.
That's an interesting point, yeah, having to come up with a sound or for your first sort of album or EP, you want to have a sound that you want to, you know, I guess have it belong to you, because you've been a member of other bands in the past, Little May and also playing guitar for Jack River, and you've been a part of maybe other people's sounds, but how hard was it finding that sound, your sound?
It wasn't so much sitting there saying, all right, what is the sound going to be? It's been more of a process of experimenting and just writing as much as I can, recording as much as I can, and figuring out what works and what doesn't. And like a lot of the sounds in the production, because it's the whole EP was produced by myself and my friend Pete Covington, and the process was mostly me recording stuff at home, just in my home studio, and then taking it to Pete and mixing it. So, it's kind of just been a process for me of, like, experimenting with my own production and engineering skills at home.
Yeah.
And then figuring out how to actually make it into the vision that I have in my head.
Yeah, fair enough. Writing music wouldn't be a new thing for you, though, I'm sure. How far back do you remember your first song that you ever wrote?
Yes, I wrote a song. Probably, I don't know, a five-year-old that I used to sing to the trees at the park. But, yeah, in the last, I joined we started Little May when I was 20, and that was kind of when I first started seriously working on music.
Yeah.
But that was also a different process because that was much more collaborative, whereas what I'm doing now is very much me in my bedroom by myself trying to come up with things.
Sure. Now, the six tracks on the EP, there is obviously a sound that you've got there, that really beautiful guitar tone that travels throughout the EP, but I really feel that each track takes you to a different place. Sort of the grandiose sparseness of Kitchen, a bit rocky, a bit more quirky for Tattoo Chameleon, and then Oxygen, completely different again. Do these songs also transport you to where you wrote them? Do you feel that in them? Because I certainly do as a listener.
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of my goal with each song. I want to create like a sonic universe that the song lives in. So it kind of, like each song has an immediate feel and hopefully transports you to a place. That's definitely the goal.
Well, I think it does. I think you can put a big tick up mark on that one. You've succeeded. Now, I believe you are a bit of an introvert, but also very creative. As I mentioned, you do art and you do fashion. You've made an amazing, like a, what do you call it? What you draw, painting. What am I talking?
Oh, yeah.
A pencil. Like, a...
illustration. I don't know.
Well, you can colour it in yourself. Colouring in, that's it.
Oh, yeah, colouring in.
Yeah. So yeah. You've got so many of these art outlets, I guess. And that's sort of what I was talking about at the beginning, where you can draw on all of these different areas of knowledge and skill that you have to solve specific problems. So here we are being forced into isolation, but maybe this can sometimes be a bit of a silver lining to a tragic world event. Despite all of this, how have you found the last couple of months?
It's been very interesting. I've definitely been finding silver linings. I am really loving the slower pace of life and the extra time, you know, having weekends where I'd normally be touring, having weekends and nights off, and yeah. Also there's no sense of FOMO or having to go out and do things if you don't feel like it. It's just like takes all the pressure off any kind of, you know, feeling like you need to go to different social engagements. Yeah. So there's definitely some silver linings. It's obviously also like totally devastated the music industry, and that's pretty stressful. Like I'm worried about the live music industry and how long it's going to take or how it's going to kind of emerge from this, yeah. And whether or not it comes back in the same way that it used to be, or like whether it emerges as a kind of new, you know, like some new form of it. I don't know. But yeah, it's just been a really interesting few months of being like, this is quite nice. Oh God, the world's ending. What are we going to do?
Yeah. You know? We've all had that seesaw, right, of one day feeling like everything's okay, and then the next day is going, oh, crap, everything's broken. Everything's
not okay.
Yeah, I'm feeling that. And I'm reading a lot of articles recently about what we're going to do next and how things are going to sort of open back up again and what the world's going to look like in, you know, 6 months or so. And, I mean, no one knows. Everyone's obviously speculating and trying to work it out. And obviously music is and arts is really just one of those industries that relies on people going out and doing things. And we're not used to doing online things. Yeah, of course you can do things online, but it's not the same. We all know it's not the same.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. I think there's going to be a huge congregation of people just dying to go out to gigs. So I hope that we can do all that when we're allowed. But, you know, things might change. I mean, there might be more of a concept of doing online things and paying for tickets that way.
Have come out of it, like the whole live stream gig thing. If it's for me, definitely comes nowhere near being a replacement for live music,
no.
Because there's just nothing as good as standing in a dark room full of sweaty strangers, you know, belting out a song at the top of your lungs.
Yeah.
But if you look at live stream gigs as a kind of different entity, it's like that's a really interesting and creative way of connecting with people, because all of a sudden it's so intimate and you can send someone a little emoji or talk to people in the comment section while someone's live streaming. And it's like this really interesting, super intimate way of connecting, which is actually can be really nice and special. It's just like can't, take the place of live music, but maybe it's a nice addition.
It is a nice addition, and I've seen you've done quite a few online streams over the last month or two, including Isolade, one of my favourites, which is on every weekend. And I've made some new buddies from this. Like, I've jumped into the comments and you say hi, and then you see the same people each week and you get to chat to them. I've made a few good friends now. I want to go to Melbourne and meet these people, go to gigs with them in real life one day. So it's been really nice in that way to connect with other people who are also really craving the live music.
Yeah. I think especially Isolade has had such an amazing community around it. And I've played two Isolades, and both of them just left me with this really warm, fuzzy feeling of like, oh, I love our music community. And we're so lucky to have such passionate music fans in Australia. It's just a pity that you can't play it in real life.
Yeah, it is. For now, but whilst till then, we can stream your album and your EP online, and we can watch the videos, because you've got a video for every single song now, I've noticed.
I do now, yes, which is something I never thought I'd do, but it's actually been a fun process doing videos.
Yeah, some really good ones too. I love I've forgotten the name of the album, the concrete one, California Park,
California
Concrete. The shots of the road and you driving and singing in the car, and it really resonates with the feeling of the song. Like, I sort of felt like that before I'd even seen the clip, but that was a really nice one. Lots of long drives for that one.
Yeah, Yeah, well, that one, as I was writing the song, I just was like, this video needs to be like a long night drive. Like, that was always the vision when I was writing it and we were recording and putting it together. So, yeah, it was kind of just a matter of being like, right, how does this long night drive make this happen?
Yeah, you got to somehow put a light out the front and, you know, put a light in the car.
We actually just used, funnily enough, the normal lights, I don't know what they're called, the lights that are in the roof of the car, but we sticky taped baking paper over them so it was more diffused.
Innovative, I love it.
That was our professional lighting team, just sticky taping baking paper over the roof of the car.
Awesome. Well, if people want to see the result of that amazing bit of technology, just check out Annie Hamilton's videos up on YouTube. And, of course, the EP, which can be found everywhere. I'm going to play a track from it right now. If you could pick one, which one would you like?
Maybe Californian Car Park Concrete.
Why not? We were just talking about it. That sounds like a good idea.
It's relevant.
Annie Hamilton, thank you so much for joining us on 2SER.
Thanks for having me, Nick.
No worries. I'll see you soon, hopefully.
Thank you.